ஸ்ரீரத்வினாவதீதமஸ்துமாவித்விசாவஹை. the entire Bhagavad Gita is emphasizing on the individual effort coupled with the right attitude that attracts the grace of the Lord. And with that individual effort, with the right attitude and the grace of the Lord, one gets the material success as well as spiritual success. This is the whole idea. The first six chapters, the emphasis is upon the individual effort. The individual nature and individual effort. That is why we keep on mentioning that the entire Bhagavad Gita is talking in detail, explaining in detail the aphorism Tat Tvam Asi, that thou art. Thou, the individual, is spoken in the first six chapters. Jiva Swarupa, what is the nature of the individual? And also it emphasizes on the Jiva Prayatna, the effort of the individual. Nothing is possible to be achieved without individual effort. There is no replacement for the individual effort. But you also must understand that you are only a spoke in the wheel of entire life. So therefore there is something else called as the Ishwara Anugraha, or the grace of the Lord, which is talked about in the next six chapters. Tat is talked about in the second six chapters, that is from chapter 7 to 12, where he talks about Ishwara Swarupa, the nature of the Lord. We are in this 11th chapter, which is part of that. The nature of the Lord is spoken. And as per our Shastra, this entire universe is nothing but a small expression of that infinite divinity which is inexplicable. This very universe itself is infinite. This very universe is infinite. That infinite, when compared to the Brahman, is very, very small. And that also is nothing but expression of that very same divinity. Due to our ignorance, we don't see the divinity as divinity, but we misinterpret it as this universe, which is a reality. Now, when an individual functions in this universe with the right attitude, he becomes like a valley. Though the rain falls on the mountain, it's the valley that collects the water. Rainwater is falling on the mountain top as well, but it ultimately flows down and gets collected only in the valley. So, in the first six chapters, we talked about Karma Yoga, which is putting in the effort with the right attitude. What is that attitude that was emphasized in the third chapter when he talked about Karma Yoga in detail? The attitude he talked about was called as Arpana Bhava, doing it in the spirit of sacrifice. An attitude of gratitude. You simply do what ought to be done by you as a repayment. When you do like that, then you attract the grace of the Lord. So Lord Krishna here in 47th verse, he said, by the grace of the Lord, which means what? By the grace of the Lord doesn't mean that you did not put in the effort. You have put in the effort, but in the right, with the right attitude, as a result of that, you attracted the grace of the Lord, and as a result of that, you have this vision that you saw, which is this universal form, which is called as the Vishwarupa Darshana. So because Arjuna, in the beginning itself, he says, if you think I am qualified to see this, please show me the universal form. And when the Lord showed the universal form, he first saw all the brilliant expressions. Then slowly, slowly, he started seeing all the Gora, terrible expressions. he couldn't take it because he's not through his efforts gone so deep. So therefore he requests Lord Krishna, please come back to that form again. I'm not able to take it anymore. So now the Lord speaks in 47 which we saw last. He says, by my grace, O Arjuna, this form of mine has been shown to you by my own Maya. It is not possible to be seen by your effort alone. You want to see it. It's not, in other words, he's just confirming that you are not imagining this. I mentioned this before. This form that Arjuna saw is also not Brahman. Please understand, Brahman is not an object of comprehension. It is a subjective apprehension. What you see is not Brahman. What makes you see is Brahman. But there are certain aspects of this world, which again is an expression of the divinity, which are not just possible to be seen by this eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin, possible to be contacted by any of the external senses. When your consciousness is withdrawn from the external senses and focused upon the inner eye, at the center of your forehead, the collective consciousness starts opening that center and you start experiencing the inner world. This is also part of the mind only. What do you mean? But it is a subtler expression of that divinity, which is exactly what Arjuna experienced, what we call as initiation. When the Guru initiates the Shishya starts experiencing the subtler universe. As a result of that, what happens is, the attachment to the gross world stops. But there is another danger. What is that? The danger is that you may get attached to the subtler world. Are you with me? It is even more dangerous. So therefore, Guru, that is why we say Guru is very important, Guru is very important. Because Guru makes sure that you don't get attached. He keeps on telling you, this is not me, this is not me. Beyond, you gotta go beyond, you gotta go beyond, you gotta go beyond. Because very often what happens is, you put in effort, you come up to a certain height, and then you get involved. You could see this even in any field, and especially in the sports field you could see. Now you come up to a point and then get stuck there. You cannot afford to get stuck there. You got to go beyond. You got to go beyond. So this is what Lord Krishna is cautioning now. Next verse. Naveda yajna jayanaina danaihi, naveda yajna jayanaina danaihi, na chakriya virna tapo virubhraihi, na chakriya virna tapo virubhraihi, evam rupa shatya ahamra loke, evam rupa shatya ahamra loke, drashtum tva dhanyena kuru pravira, drashtum tva dhanyena Guru Pravira, na Veda Yajna Jayanai na Danaihi, na Chakriya Veda Tapo Virubhraihi, Evam Rupa Shatya Aham Raloke, Drashtum Tva Danyena Guru Pravira. Neither by the study of the Vedas, not by the yajnas, sacrifice, nor by gifts, dana, nor by rituals, karma kanda, karma, yajna, sacrifice, nor by severe austerities, tapas, can I be seen in such a form in the world of men by anyone other than you. O great hero of the Kurus, Kuru Pravira. Arjuna also, remember, is none other than Kaurava. He also belongs to the same clan, Kuru. Right? But just to differentiate, since he is born Kuru, Pandu is called as Pandava. Right? Whereas he is also essentially Kuru. So he is saying you are a great hero of the Kuru. Great hero is not because of, see, the greatest jihad is the conquest of yourself. External conquest is no conquest. Hear me. The real conquest is the conquest over your own personality. When you have bring control over your anger, bring control over your impulses, you know, that when you have got control over your own desire, then you are a great leader. That is precisely why Vardhaman was called as Mahavira. What battle did he win, Vardhaman? Did he win any battle?
No, not all.
But why is he called as Mahavira? You understand? Mahavira because he has conquered the inner personality, the mind. So this is why Arjuna is being addressed as great hero of the room. Not because of any other reason. And then Lord Krishna is trying to tell Arjuna here, through Arjuna to all of us, that per se, just merely sitting down and studying the Vedas, per se, is not going to get you there. Neither by the study of the Vedas. That doesn't mean you stop studying. I've been waiting for this only. Why are you saying this in the 11th chapter? I have told this in the first chapter. I was partnering for that class. Now having come to the 11th chapter, now you are saying. He is not saying that don't study. Simply by study alone nothing will happen. Right? Study is also what? Means. See, in the beginning, it has been mentioned once that karma plus bhakti is karma yoga. Jnana plus bhakti is jnana yoga. You got to convert an action into yoga. You got to convert the study into yoga. Believe me. Simply if you stand on your head doesn't mean it becomes yoga. You got to convert that into yoga. The asana has to be converted into yoga. Similarly, the bhakti practice that you do when you stand in front of an idol and mutter the chantings, the shlokas, the mantra, doesn't by itself become bhakti yoga. When you mix bhakti, then it becomes bhakti yoga. And Arjuna has said bhakti. Sri Krishna will talk about it later. So he says, simply by mere reading, just your intuitive mind is not going to take you there, because that is also done within the realm of the mind. The idea is to cross the mind. Please understand. You got to use the mind and cross the mind. You got to use the body and cross the mind. You got to use the intellect and cross the intellect. So you cannot afford to get stuck at that level. Anything achieved at that level is still within the periphery of the mind. Whereas true divinity, the consciousness, pure consciousness is beyond the periphery of the mind. So he says, neither by the study of the Vedas, then nor by yajnas, nor by yajnas, simply doing sacrifices, rituals, nor by rituals, nor by gifts, rana. Because a lot of us think by doing dana, I get to moksha. You know, that is why they say, as a person becomes old, there seems to be lot of dana.
But the person wants to start collecting good karma for when they die, you know.
Exactly. As if it's a ticket for place in heaven.
Yeah, ticket.
So basically what you need to understand is, giving away your things is not real dana. Real dana is without the attitude that you are giving away something. You should understand that the divinity is giving it to you. Do you mean? That is the most important essential aspect in dharma, in to do dharma. So it is not what you give away that matters, how you give it. Then it becomes real dharma, which means there is bhakti mixed to it. Not otherwise. So it is not by dharam also per se. Otherwise it will be simply, you know, simple. Every day you read one or two verses, do a little bit dharam, and do some yajna. You know, just because you follow certain rituals, you get there, you know. It's not because of that. Because a lot of people just mechanically do this. Merely doing all these activities mechanically doesn't qualify it to be a spiritual action. It doesn't burn the vasanas. And when the vasanas are still remaining, you would not achieve that moksha. So he says, nor by severe austerity. See, we have the examples given in the Puranas. Severe austerity was performed by Hiranyakashipu. He came back and declared that I am God. When a person realizes himself, he also declares, Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi. But when he says Aham Brahmasmi, with that I, he doesn't mean the individual I. What are you equating this I to? That's the whole idea. You use the word I, but with the I, do you just identify yourself with this body? Or do you identify with mind? Or do you identify with intellect? Or do you identify with the consciousness? So when Hiranyakashipu, after doing so much of tapasya, came and declared, I am God, it's not the same as when a true saint declared, Aham Brahmasmi. They have completely burnt the I, the small I. When they say I, they mean the pure consciousness. Whereas when Hiranyakashipu came and said I, he meant the small I, the limited personality. I am God. So it's not merely through austerity. In fact, if you do not have the right attitude when you study, the possibility after having gone through all the scriptures is that you may become highly egoistic. That is why we say Vidya should always go together with Vinaya. Humility. If Vinaya is not coupled with Vidya, then it is not true Vidya. So he says, nor by mere study, neither by mere study, nor by yajnas, nor by gifts, nor by rituals, nor by severe austerity. Standing on one leg, torturing the body. God is not a sadist. Spiritual practices are not meant to torture yourself. It is to willingly go through certain suffering to bring your senses under control. So that your consciousness, the mind, doesn't get drained, doesn't drain your energy through the senses. That is why you are supposed to do the tapas. This is also a means to an end. But by forcing yourself, you are not going to get there. So he says, none of this per se can help you see me in such a form in this world of men. By anyone other than me. What is so special about Arjuna? That is going to talk about later. It is nothing but bhakti. You see, even in Puranas, there are so many stories. You know, Sri Krishna was made to sit on the balance on one side. On the other side, so many tons of gold were kept. But the balance wouldn't tilt the other way. But finally, in a single leaf of tulsi, was played, the balance tilted. What it means is, really speaking, the only thing that the Sri Krishna, the thief, wants to steal from you is your ego. That you do not want to give. You give everything, but you want to retain that ego. You will not get it. When you really offer that tulsi, which is the ego. When you give that away, then the balance tilts this side. So that was the greatness of Arjuna. To see that picture everywhere, where Sri Krishna is standing on the battlefield, Arjuna is bowing down to Sri Krishna. The more you bend, the more you receive. So he says, none of these people can see, only you, anyone other than you. Oh great guru, because you have conquered that ego, you have that devotion, you have that bhakti. Ultimately, what is important is bhakti. If that is not there, it is not a sign of education at all. The problem today is, in many system of education, is that you swell the individual ego. When you swell the individual ego, the individual puts in effort, there is more competition. You know, the other day I was watching, just happened to flip the channels, sports channels, and I saw a small interview by Courtney Walsh and Curly Ambrose. So they used to play together for the West Indies team, Delhi Bowlers. And they were saying, we used to compliment each other, we never competed with each other. They say, on a particular day, when the pitch was assisting my bowling, my job used to get the wicket, and Kirby was used to contain the runs. On a day when I realized that the pitch is assisting his kind of bowling, then I used to do that role. The roles used to reverse. They are complementing each other. That's why between themselves they took so many wickets. Great bowlers.
No, but if they were in the same team, they were going to complement each other.
Not necessary. Many times what happens, you also, you know, there is a different role that everybody plays. You see, and there is any function, for example, you know, like this is really connected to this exam, lectures by Swamiji, these are the exam. Everybody cannot play the same role as Swamiji. Swamiji plays the role of lecturing. Really. So you may say that everybody's attention is on Swamiji, so you would like to be Swamiji. But there are other roles also.
You can't say that. Fighting is different and competing is different. You don't pull someone down.
Now the point is this. Where there is complementing each other attitude, there is team spirit. If that team spirit is there, that team wins. In fact, many times we have seen, you know, when a particular team wins the World Cup, they call it the World Champion. And after they used to win that in cricket many times. So what used to happen was, they used to get the best members of different teams and form a world team. Brian Lara, Sachin Tendulkar, all these guys used to be brought in one team. And they used to play against Australia. The world champions were the rest of the world. And very often you see, the world champions win against the rest of the world. Individually, if you measure the talent of this side, it will excel the world champions. There is something else that makes a team win. For example, when you listen to the interview by Kapil Dev and all these guys who participated in the 1983 World Cup, anybody who understands cricket knows what was the might of the West Indies at that time, an Indian team. But still the Indian team won against the West Indies. Not that they only beat the West Indies in the finals, in the preliminary round also they beat them. You know, apparently when India scored 183 or something in the finals, After that, the spirit is going to play, and that's kind of the theme, you know, great theme of oil. Each one is a natural. From the beginning, everyone is a natural. Kapil Deva currently in the team meeting said, we scored 183, let's make it difficult for them to cross that. They have to cross 183 to win. Let's make it as difficult as possible. Let's come to, you know, that sort of thing. And he said an example in the field. That in fact, and suddenly enough, when you bring a team that gets inspired, on that day, they are like, you use the word in English, they're possessed. Possessed is functioning like somebody is possessed, you know. They function like on that particular day. So in that context, I'm saying that particular spirit which is there in Arjuna. So Shri Krishna is saying that bhakti. That is bhakti. Each one drops their individual ego. You may be, you know, like a senior player. And if the captain tells you, go and field at the boundary, no? While you are part of the team, you cannot take it personally. In that context, the captain says, be there, you be there. That maturity has to be there in a professional. That is bhakti. That's all we are saying in the modern context. So it's a bhakti, bhakti, bhakti. Bhakti means the thing is singing bhajan or chanting love. In fact, modern places, in the name of bhakti, they create chaos. For example, I'm not ridiculing, please. If there is a little bit of ego and I say this, please pardon me for that. But I can assure you, from my conscious mind, there is no. Just mentioning this as an example. You find out in many of these places of worship, or dana they do, right? They do this distribution of food in many places. They mess up the whole place. They firstly create a pandal. And then there is so much of food that is distributed. So it's fine, it is good maybe. But then, are you really serving the hungry? We don't know. And secondly, you see that after having, first of all, even while it is being served, they create a traffic. All the mess that happened there. And secondly, when the whole program is over, when you go on the road, they have littered the whole place. It's what I'm trying to say is, where is bhakti there? You go to the places of worship. I did mention to you once, I think, you know, we used to conduct these retreats every year. Once in a while we conduct these retreats. So, in that year we conducted it in this Kashi, Varanasi. So a South Indian gentleman, South Indian Iyengar Brahmin gentleman, he was around 70, he started my classes, now he is in Houston. He said, sir, I have never been to Kashi, and you are organizing a retreat in Kashi, but I want to come. And as per our tradition, it's considered as holy, take a dip in Ganges. So he said, I have never been to Kashi, so I want to come, I want to take a dip in Ganges. I hope you organize something near the river. Said, yeah, we usually take a boat or something, and then we have a morning sunrise, you know. On the boat, we all go together and then have a small discussion and all this. So he said, very good, and on that day, he came in shorts and t-shirts and everything ready to take a dip. After the whole thing, he came back without taking a dip. I said, what? Why did you take a dip? You wanted to take a dip, what happened? He said, no, I can't take a dip. After seeing the mess over there, he said, I can't take a dip. Now what I'm trying to say is, we call this as a holy place of worship. What is bhakti? We can't even keep our temples clean. I don't know about the mosques here, except one or two, I've not been to many here. But I've been to few mosques in Abu Dhabi where I was there. You know, in Abu Dhabi and in Muscat also, they have this huge grand mosque. They allow the visitors to go there. It is so clean. pit can. It's not just the grand mark, even I think the smaller marks over there. It's a place of worship. Why can't you keep it clean? Where is the bhakti there?
I think Modi needs to look into this matter also.
So what happens to the
Dwaras? Dwaras are very clean.
Yes.
But people are
Dwaras. Yes. Shall I tell you why the Gurdwaras, exactly what you are saying Guruji, because the people go themselves and they clean. Like I have a friend, she is home, my daughter and I are going, today is our duty to put the shoes properly.
Yeah.
I remember this friend of mine used to go to this Gurdwara here in Delhi, and here this, I don't think the Hindus go and do the cleaning.
So this is precisely what I am saying, you may be
the temple. Temple.
We come
together. Yes. But in Gurdwaras, there is a concept of seva. We do it.
Get back to the verse in context. That's what I was trying to tell you. You may be a CEO of an organization. You may be a CEO of an organization. When you go to Gurdwara, like you said, they say today your job is to take care of the food stand.
Yes.
Or to sweep this. Or to personally serve food.
So that is when they leave their ego.
That is what I'm trying to tell you. That is. When the bhakti comes, then there is a team. When the bhakti is not there, it's not a team. Team and crowd, you've got to differentiate. What is the difference?
But when people... But there is a selfish game that we have been taught and told that if you do this, you will get
good karma.
Now, that's what I'm trying to tell you. If there is an ounce of ego, if there is an ounce of ego, it ceases to be bhakti. Bhakti means self-effacement. Bhakti simply means self-effacement. Nothing else. So, come back. Now, see, there may be so many reasons why somebody does, somebody doesn't do. We are not getting into this. But we are getting into the concept of what is bhakti. What Sri Krishna is trying to emphasize here. When that bhakti is there, which through that you act physically, emotionally, intellectually, then all of those activities turns itself, converted itself into spiritual action. That's all. When such an activity is done, then the vasanas get burnt. When the vasanas get burnt, you reach the divinity. That's it.
Next verse.
49. मातेव्यता मास विमूढ़ भावः मातेव्यता मास विमूढ़ भावः मातेव्यता मास विमूढ़ भावः दृष्ट्वा रूपं गोरमि ब्रह्ममेदम् दृष्ट्वा रूपं गोरमि ब्रह्ममेदम् व्यपेद विप्रीत मना पुनस्त्वम् व्यपेद विप्रीत मना पुनस्त्वम् तदेव मे रूपमिदं प्रपश्य तदेव मे रूपमिदं प्रपश्य मातेव्यता मास विमूढ भावः दृष्ट्वा रूपं गोरमि ब्रह्ममेदम् व्यपेतदि प्रीतमनामुनस्त्वं तदेव मे रूपमिदं प्रपश्य. Having seen such a terrible form of mind as this, be not bewildered. Fearless. With gladdened heart you again behold this former form of mind indeed. So Sri Krishna, Arjuna requested Sri Krishna, please show me the former form. So now he is saying, having seen such a terrible form of mind as this, be not bewildered, be fearless. See, that's what I am saying. When you have bhakti, there can be no fear. When Narasimha Avatara happened, there was tremendous bhakti in Prahlad. So you could see the pictures in many places where there is Lord Narasimha seated on the throne after killing Hiranyakashipu with that Ugra Rupa. No. Simha Rupa. devas and everyone is frightened. It is Prarada who sits on the lap of Narasimha. Because absolutely no fear. I'm sorry, no fear. And that is tremendous. This is what Sri Krishna is saying. And this is also me only. Do not be scared. With gladdened heart now, you again behold this former form of mind. So slowly he is bringing him back to his level. Next verse. Sanjaya uvacha
Ityarjunam Vasudevastatottva Swakam Rupam Darshayamasa Bhuyah Ashvasayamasa Chabhitamenam Purmahatma, Sanjaya Uvacha, Ityarjunam Vasudevastatottva, Swakam Rupam Darshayamasa Bhuyah, Ashvasayamasa Chabhitamenam, Bhutva Punasauyava Purmahatma.
Next word of the chant.
Arjuna uvacha Drishve dhammanusham rupam Tava saumyam janadana Idanimasmi samvrittah Sacheta prakritim gatah Arjuna uvacha Drishve dhammanusham rupam Tava saumyam janadana Idanimasmi samvrittah Sacheta prakritim gatah
Sanjaya Vacha, Sanjaya said, so Vasudeva having thus spoken to Arjuna, again revealed his own form and the great soul assuming gentle form pacified him who was terrified. Now see, time and again they are reminding us that it is a conversation between Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra, and Sanjaya is talking to Dhritarashtra about what is happening on the battlefield. And Sanjaya is, through this conversation, trying to tell something to Dhritarashtra. That is, this Sri Krishna is not a personality who is identified only with a limited self. He is somebody who has gone beyond the limited self and is an unconditioned human being. An unconditioned human being is absolutely objective, and with that objectivity when a person functions, it is impossible to conquer that person, it becomes difficult. So Sanjaya is trying to tell Dhritarashtra, do not do this. Try to stop the war if possible, indirectly. But Dhritarashtra doesn't understand, so that's why he is saying, having spoken thus to Arjuna, again revealed his own form and the great soul. What does it mean, great soul? Mahatma. Sri Krishna is referred here as Mahatma by Sanjaya when he is speaking to Dhritarashtra. That Mahatma, assuming his gentle form, pacified him who was terrified. So I am doing against that Mahatma, now your children are raised for what? What are their chances? You know, these are indirect indications. And then Arjuna is speaking. What is he saying? He is saying, having seen this gentle human form of yours, O Janardana. Janardana means protector of people. O Shri Krishna, with mind composed, with my mind composed, I am now restored to my nature. One of the reasons for stress is not being ourselves.
Not being
ourselves. ourselves. Why do you get into stress? In business, for example, you run your business on borrowed money. Get into stress. Understand? Everything, the more you are living on borrowed. See, for example, if you have done your study and reflection, then you are standing on your business. If you have simply memorized, rote learning, then it is borrowed learning. It's not yours. Do you mean? You are not standing on your feet. You are standing on somebody else's knowledge. You have not digested. It's not your strength. As long as there is reliance on the outside forces, there is going to be stress. All the more in spiritual field, you got to do your efforts and tapas at your level. No, you cannot compare yourself with somebody else and then do. You cannot maintain it for long. And here also Arjuna is more composed. Why? Because it is again back to his level. This is very, very important. But the problem is, we try to teach ourselves somewhere. You got to practice the spiritual practices. You got to do it. Somebody else can't do it for you. But at your level. And slowly, slowly, your capacity will increase. As per your capacity, your understanding will grow. You cannot lose and become frustrated. I am not a person. You will get there. Understand? As you develop that capacity, you start having that vision. You may understand. Like when you are in a certain class, let's say at the sixth level, you cannot understand certain portions of mathematics. That's not taught to you. But as you grow, slowly, slowly, you can now see. Because you've got a developed intellect, little more. Without you can see. That's how it should be done. So this is what is happening here. Arjuna is telling, oh Janardana, thank God you've come back to it from. With my mind composed now, I am restored my nature. My mental disturbance is up. I am really relaxed now. That's all you see. So in other words, Vishwarupa Darshana is now being folded back by Sri Krishna. Now Sri Krishna speaking in chant verse 52 and 53 together. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Sudurdarshanidham Rupam,
Sudurdarshanidham Rupam,
Drishyavanati Yanmaha,
Drishyavanati Yanmaha,
Deva Apyasya Rupasya,
Deva Apyasya Rupasya,
Nityam Darshana Kamshinaha,
Nityam Darshana Kamshinaha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Sudurdarshanidham Rupam,
Drishyavanati Yanmaha,
Deva Apyasya Rupasya,
Nityam Darshana Kamshinaha,
Naham Vedaina Tapasa,
Naham Vedaina Tapasa,
Nadanena Na Chejaya,
Nadanena Na Chejaya,
Shakya Evam Vido Drishyam,
Shakya Evam Vido Drishyam,
Drishtavanasi Mamyata,
Drishtavanasi Mamyata,
Naham Vedaina Tapasa,
Nadanena Na Chejaya,
Shakya Evam Vido Drishyam,
Drishtavanasi Mamyata. The Blessed Lord said, very hard to see this form of mine. which you have seen. Even the God ever longs to behold this form.
In other words, even gods have not seen. Gods means what? We said this before. Gods, when it comes in plural, they are referring to beings at different frequencies of the mind. That's all.
Everything is nothing but the mind's frequency. Heaven and hell is also nothing but the state of mind. So, Madhyama is we, human beings. Adama, lower beings are also there. And there is higher conscious beings who are called as Devas. So Devas, Manushyas, Asuras. Different lokas are spoken in the scripture. All these different lokas are nothing but the different
mind.
State of mind. That's all. Loka doesn't mean there's a place, geographical place. There is different state of mind. Like in a particular place called dream, you will see a dream world. Same way, it's a mental state. So even the beings at different frequency, consciousness, they also have not seen this. So you are blessed. Very hard to see this part. Very hard because that most difficult thing, as I said, is the conquest of the ego. Even Devas in the stories we have seen, that they have that slight ego. Even Indra, as per the story, is very, very insecure. He wants to hold on to the seat. So, even they are not seen. Neither by Veda, again he is repeating, neither by Veda, nor by penance, nor by gift, nor by sacrifice, can I be seen like this as you have seen me. First of all,
so Arjuna has no ego
at that point. But to the extent you are, it's not that he is 100% realized. If the ego is totally dissolved, then you are realized. But to a great extent, he is dissolved his ego. In the beginning he did. If you see in the first chapter, I pointed out. See, this is what I said in one of the classes also. We are traveling with Arjuna. If we really are traveling with Arjuna as we are studying the scripture, what should have happened in us, which we have to check, is how much bhakti is happening in you. How much of this attitude, tera na mera, is there in me? If you see in the first chapter, what did Arjuna tell Sri Krishna? Sena yor bhayor madhye ratam sthapaya me achyuta. This is what he said. Verse number 21. First chapter. See that. What did he say? Sena yor bhayor madhye ratam sthapaya me achyuta. Me means my chariot. Take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. This is what he said. What is the... Is it correct?
Yes.
Me is my chariot.
Yes.
Come to verse number 1, chapter 11.
Yes, my chariot.
Now come to chapter 11, verse 1.
Chapter 11.
Verse 1. What is Arjuna saying there?
Which you have spoken out of compassion for me, this delusion of mine is expected.
So from where to where is travel? You see, by that speech of yours, which you have spoken by compassion, out of your compassion you spoke to me. He is now understanding, see, to say this, what he is trying to say basically, you got to go back and listen to the first verse again, then you will understand the context. Initially, mind chariot, take it there. Everything is, initially you think everything is happening because of you. Slowly you understand everything is happening in spite of you, through you.
This is the maturity you got to get.
I even pointed out to you in one of the classes here, first time we met after the lecture. You know, Sunaji came, she came with fever. So she said, Sushilaji, be ready to lecture. I may not be able to lecture. Then Sushilaji came and told me, you also be ready, because if something happens to me, you know. Then finally it so happened, she little bit recovered and she lectured and I fell ill after that. Now, how the whole thing happens, we think we are doing. Now that has to go. So he said, out of compassion you spoke to me. The beautiful attitudinal change that has come about in Arjuna. This is what should have happened in us if we really studied the 11 chapters properly. Otherwise you say, okay, next week I think we will study 12 chapters. 12 chapters in Bhakti Yoga. So this is what he said. So here, he is very clearly saying, neither by Veda, nor by penance, or gift, nor by sacrifice, I can be seen like this as you have seen me. So he is saying, firstly he is saying, to have this kind of a darshan, first of all there should be Bhakti in you.
Okay.
And when the bhakti comes to the final, in that final bhakti stage, ego is completely burnt. And when the ego is completely burnt, the seer and the seen merges. Are you with me? The individual seer and the seen merges. Thereafter there is nothing seen externally. Everything is yourself. So it's a subjective appearance. That's all he's trying to say. You've got to cross that also. Next. Bhaktya vananyaya shakya. Bhaktya vananyaya shakya. Ahamevam vidorjuna. Ahamevam vidorjuna. Jnatum drashtum cha tatvena. Jnatum drashtum cha tatvena. Praveshtum cha parantapa. Praveshtum cha parantapa. Bhaktya vananyaya shakya. Ahamevam vidorjuna. Jnatum drashtum tattvena praveshtum cha parantapa. So now he spells it out, but by single pointed devotion, but by single pointed devotion, bhaktyatvanena ananyena, exactly same thing what he said in 22nd verse chapter 9, ananya bhakti, ananya bhakti, ananya bhakti. Ananya bhakti means what? Anya means other. Ananya means no other. So your bhakti is single point. In other words, for the sake of Bhagavan, you are seeking Bhagavan. Otherwise you are seeking Bhagavan for the sake of material wealth, or mental solace, or intellectual curiosity, or for something or the other. Are you with me? This is called objectivity. What is my role? You do that and get out. Absolutely no interest whatsoever in the result. Because you understand the result is as per the totality of karma, the Ishvara brings the result. You simply do and get out. That is bhakti. So he says, with a single pointed devotion, bhaktya tvananyaya, I may be seen like this. I may be seen like this with a single pointed devotion. I am known in reality and entered. Known in reality and entered means merged. O Parantapa, O Scorcherer of Force, really speaking, what are your force? you have only one thought, which is in the form of mind. Your own mind is your own foe, nobody.
Foe, enemy. Parantapa means archer of foes. Really speaking, you have only one foe. Who is that? Your own mind. Koini. So he is saying, with the bhakti, when you have brought your mind to single focus, then that mind finally dissolves. All you need to do is bring your mind inward. See, through the mind, the thoughts through the senses go outward, then it multiplies. Then the thoughts multiply. Now, if you can clarify, they say first thing is control your senses. And then, with tapasya, focus the thoughts inward. Then the mind starts flowing inward. When the mind has been made to flow inward, then the mind becomes extinct. Because the whole idea is to make the mind extinct. No mind state is the divine state. When the mind reflects the divinity, you see the world. Various worlds. So you got to dissolve the very mind, and that very mind can be dissolved through bhakti only. So he says, bhaktya to ananyaya, by the single pointed devotion, may I be seen like this. As the ego dissolves, you start seeing the whole universe as the divinity, various expressions of divinity only, including the Aishwarya Rupa and the Ugra Rupa. Even tsunami you see that divinity, divine expression only. Everything has divine expression. There are nothing frightens you. And then you understand it in reality. When you understand it in reality, what happens? The ego completely dissolves. And the ego completely dissolves, you enter the self. That's what it means. Firstly, you got to through bhakti bring your mind single pointed, then know in reality, in essence, subjective knowing, and then you enter. So therefore, idea is to bring your mind single pointed. Otherwise, through karma, bhakti, jnana, you seek the world only. Therefore, it's not mechanical doing of karma, bhakti, jnana. There is no doubt you cannot get there without karma bhakti jnana. But not by mechanically doing karma bhakti jnana. Bhakti dwara. Bhakti dwara means through bhakti. Why am I doing this? That should be clear. Otherwise we come and get involved. Even in a classroom we may get involved. Why am I studying? What is the purpose? The purpose of education. See, the problem is, in that poem, Pineapple of the Bee, William Cowper beautifully says, folly the spring of thy pursuit, disappointment thy food. Folly means what?
Foolish.
Folly the spring of thy pursuit. If the spring, meaning the beginning of your pursuit itself is foolish, disappointment will be the result, the fruit. Now, today, you take anybody anywhere in India especially, they talk, the person completes his education, MBA or whatever. What do they talk about? 2 crore package, 6 crore package, 24 lakhs package. Etc. etc. Package. So what is that they are talking about? Now that I am educated, in a way,
I am worth so much.
I am taking, now I can take 3 crores back. I can take 24 lakhs. I can take 50 lakhs. But what should be the, what would the true education do? When you are truly educated,
your roots have become strong like a coconut tree. Now that I have become strong, now I can gain. If that attitude is there, it's fine. But what I'm trying to tell you is, now that I've got this education, now I can demand this, I can get to this, I can take this. This is the attitude. Then there is something wrong in that education. What I'm trying to say. Now, whatever you contribute, you start looking at those packages as a prasad. Are you with me? Then your focus is not there. That's all I'm trying to say. Your focus is in giving. It's not there. That's all. That is what.
So, like I'm, when you're saying package, I'm thinking of my son. So, how should I be saying it to him? We do talk as parents. How should he look at his work and his talent? What should be his thought as a kid, 25?
Whole Karma Yoga portion is just with reference to knowledge, now since we are talking about it, simply get liberally educated in the field of your swadharma. And you having made yourself strong and continue to make yourself strong. Do you mean? Maybe through a school and college up to a certain age. After that doesn't mean you stop thinking yourself strong. You continue. Whether you are a lawyer or a doctor or whatever profession you are in, even in Vedanta, you continue to strengthen yourself by doing your tapasya in that field. Then go and do the action in the spirit of giving. Are you with me? With Atmana Bhava. And whatever comes, accept that as a prasad. And when a person functions like this, he or she will be absolutely stress-free and would be mentally completely wrapped and free. As a result of that, they will be excelling more. And when they excel more, the prasad also may be increasing. It doesn't, actually for such a person, the quantum doesn't matter. There. Because if you have conquered or having control over your desires, the external quantum of your salary doesn't matter. But if you have not conquered, how much ever you may get, it's still not enough. So this should be the attitude. That's all we are saying. That's all we are saying. Nothing else. So now come back. So he said, but by single-pointed devotion. The whole idea is, therefore what? You've got to bring your mind to single-pointed focus upon the divinity within. When you do that, the mind completely dissolves and you realize this. Now finally, this is a summary in 55th verse. Matkarma krimat paramaha, matkarma krimat paramaha, matbhakta sangha varjitaha, matbhakta sangha varjitaha, nirvaira sarvabhuteshu, nirvaira sarvabhuteshu, yassamameti pandava, yassamameti pandava, matkarma krimat paramaha, matbhakta sangha varjitaha, nirvaira sarvabhuteshu yassamameti pandava. He who performs actions for me, matkarma. Matkarma means performs actions for me, for the sake of Ishvara, for the sake of totality, for the sake of Bhagavan, with an attitude of giving, not for me, what will I get? Ishvara arpana. That's what it means. Matkarma. Krimat paramaha. One who does action with me as supreme. Ultimately supreme Lord knows what is good for me, what is, you know, good. In other words, the, like we have to discuss, the small circle has to align with a bigger circle. Small circle is part of the bigger circle. It has to align with the bigger circle. So that is supreme, not me. It is supreme interest, not my interest. Matkarma, krimmatparma. So you are doing the action as an action of Lord's action, not as yours. See, when a person who is doing the job of an executor, you know, his job is to execute. But is he doing it with any personal thing? Mat karma. Mat karma means he is executing it on behalf of the
government.
Government means people. Total. Another, the people have been represented by the judge and the system and the whole thing. That person, having gone through the entire merits, etc., etc., has passed a certain judgment, and the executor is simply executing it. That's all. Mat karma, doing it as, I am not having any personal motive. That's called mat karma. Krimat parama, doing it with himma as to say. Ultimately, I may have my personal views and everything. Ultimately, the totality's decision is final. That's supreme. Then it is, with me as supreme is devoted to me, absolutely dissolving the individual ego, free from attachment. And when you do the action, you got to do that free from attachment, not thinking, I hope I'm doing the right thing, I hope I'll get the right result. After having given that inspiring speech, the real essence in that Mark Antony's speech, a lot of people miss. When Brutus conspired and murdered Caesar, Mark Antony comes to know of it. He makes a speech, and firstly Brutus speaks. And Brutus is a great orator. Now he speaks, he says, for the sake of Rome I have to kill him. Not that I love Caesar any less, but I love Rome more. And Caesar was ambitious, therefore for the sake of Rome I have to get rid of my own friend, And the whole mob, first when they were hailing Caesar, I'm listening to this lecture. Now they started saying, hail Brutus, hail Brutus. At that time Mark Antony clearly understood the mob psychology, and he tells Brutus, I'm also a friend of Caesar, I'd like to speak few words, but nothing against you, you're all honorable people. And Brutus, having turned the mob to his side, his little ego went up to his head. Then he said, okay, go and speak. And then he said to the public, Antony wants to say something, listen to him for my sake. And the public says, okay, what has Mark Antony got to say? Hope he doesn't say anything against Brutus. He comes and speaks, friends, Romans, country. I've come to bury Caesar, not to kill him. Actually the Ulta. It's called objectivity. Controlling all his emotions, I've come to bury Caesar, not to kill him. And then he goes on. They are all honorable men. Honorable, and finishes them off. Beautifully lit. And then finally, having inspired the whole mob, having spoken the truth, having made them realize the truth that Brutus had done wrong to Caesar, who was the benefactor of the public. The public is, now inspired. They all want to take revenge. They all say, perfect for this. And in the shouting, very quietly, Antony speaks. He said, mischief thou art afoot. Take thou what course thou wilt. I have played my role, whatever I have to do, mischief thou art afoot. You take whatever course you want. This is called free from attachment. You don't know. Whatever may happen. What is to be done by me, do cannot. So free from attachment. And then while doing, it has to be mixed with love. Without any enmity towards any being. How you look at any being? You look at any being as divinity, expression only. He reaches me, O Pandava. So how do you get there? By doing what you ought to do in life as a devotee of the Buddha.
That's the attitudinal change, nothing else. Tera na Kundala.
Om Tatsat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambhade Vishva Rupa Darshana Yogo Nama Ekadasho Dhyaya
Om Tatsat. So with all the chapters conclude with this Om Tatsat. The idea of study is to get to that reality that thus in the Upanishads of the glorious Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the summary of Upanishads. The signs of eternal, it talks about the eternal versus ephemeral. The scripture of yoga that helps you to unite with the self. The dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna, Guru and Shishya, in the 11th chapter entitled Yoga, the Vision of the Cosmic Form. Now at the end of every chapter we have the humility to say that we are only beginning. We have not concluded but we have just started. So chant verse number 1 together.
Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna uvacha, madanugrahaya paramam, guhyamadhyatma sankhitam, yatva yoktam vachat tena, mohoyam vigato mama, Arjuna uvacha, madanugrahaya paramam, gohyamadhyatma sankhitam, yatva yoktam vachat tena, mohoyam vigato mama.
So next week we will do the summary of chapter 11.